Last night was a big night in the U.S. Senate. Lots of things happened. We have the latest up there in print at Rents.com from Reverend Ted Pike, and we wanted to bring Ted on tonight to bring us up to date fully in person, as it were, with what's happened last night, today, and what we look forward to happening or not happening in the coming days and maybe weeks. We're not sure. We'll have to wait and see. Ted, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeff.
Thanks for being here tonight. Well, I want to first congratulate you and commend you most highly as being an extraordinary American patriot, an extraordinary human being who cares about all people, and who understands how the rule of law can be used to corrupt and destroy a society, probably better than most people. And you really have fought for, well, when did you first begin doing this?
Well, I first began fighting the Hate Crime Statistic Act in 1988.
Well, there you go, folks. So we're talking 21 years. But I just wanted to thank you on behalf of many, many people, and people who don't even know you yet who will come to appreciate what you've done in the future. It's
well,
not over.
Thank you, Jeff. I just want to thank you also because you have been the mainstay of this opposition to the hate bill for years now. And without you and your vast reach, I don't think we could have done it.
Well, it's been my honor. Again, if it weren't for you, I would have nothing to do. Sit here and worry. But all right. Well, we did. I don't know if you'd call it a setback. We had a kind of a predictable turn of events last night, but then something rather unpredictable came along to at least put a really nice Band-Aid on the wound. So let's kind of retrace what happened, and we'll pick it up from there.
Yes, well, I devoted yesterday from about 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 or so at night to constant vigilance over the workings of the Senate. As a result of the tremendous distraction and the drain of senators away from the floor of the Senate with the Sotomayor hearings and also the health issue hearing markup, there was no quorum there all day long. Mm-hmm. And there was a wonderful speech, however, given to a largely vacated Senate by Jim DeMint. And very, very little happened during the day, but DeMint did tell us that the senators would be regathering for a quorum in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, they should come up. They were scheduling a vote on cloture, which means to basically vote on the hate bill, end the possibility of real debate. And so he was saying that the Republicans were gearing up to deal with the hate bill. So I knew I had to stay up my watch. And basically, in the evening, Senator Hatch came forward with an amendment that would have required a federal study of whether really a federal hate bill, federal involvement in local law enforcement was even necessary. And he quoted Attorney General Holder, who said who agreed basically that the states were doing a good job, and he just asked, why in the world are we federalizing a law enforcement concerning violent hate crimes when the states are doing a perfectly good job?
Yep.
But that was voted down by the Democrats. Then Senator Sam Brownback came on with his amendment, an excellent amendment, and it contains a section from the Religious Freedom Act, which was passed in 1993 by Congress, by the Senate, 97-3. And it has a very specific statement in there that unless speech from the pulpit, from the airwaves, or whatever, even the street corner, is imminently inciting people to violence, in the same category of inciting to riot or whatever, imminently inciting them to violent crimes or hate crimes, then no one can be prosecuted under the federal hate crimes law. And that seemed reasonable. However, Senator Patrick Leahy, who did sponsor the present hate bill amendment in the Senate, said, well, it sounds redundant to me. Don't we have this Section 10 of the hate law, which says nothing will be done to jeopardize First Amendment rights? But Brownback kept coming back and saying, no, we need some really specific language here because, you see, the 1968 hate law, Title 18, Section 2A, is very dangerous, very obscure. It says that anyone who induces some other person, he could be 2,000 miles away, to commit a hate crime will be tried as a principal. Very vague, very dangerous.
Even if they don't know they're inducing it, actually.
That's right. And legal experts like the Louis Gohmert, who was an appeal judge in Texas, has really dramatized the danger of Title 18, Section 2A, making everybody nervous, all religious leaders, all broadcasters in the country nervous. So Brownback came in with saying, let's beef up, if we're going to pass it, and it was obvious that it would be passed, let's make absolutely sure that we have even more language safeguarding our precious First Amendment liberties. So Leahy says, well, I don't have any big problem with that. And that was all it took for a whole raft of liberals there in the Senate to go ahead and join with Brownback. Now, I should point out that, in fact, the vote was 78-13 in favor of Brownback's amendment. I should point out that without massive calling, at least 2 days in which the phones were largely jammed all day long,
right,
we would not have been able to do that because, as you may remember, a couple of months ago in the House Judiciary markup hearing, something like 17 amendments were proposed by the Republicans, including a Representative King's amendment to have a similar statement, not including pedophiles on the federal hate bill. And those were all high-handedly rejected by Conyers Committee. The Democrats would have nothing to do. They were really in the driver's seat back there. And we really had a small percentage of the real pressure coming upon them that we did on the Senate Democrats yesterday. And so, to my very great relief, we now have the hate bill was passed a little bit later overwhelmingly, 663, I think it to 27 or something like that. But we do have a strong statement now from this 1993 Religious Freedom Act, which goes a long way to helping ensure that the federal hate bill will not have a free license to go after people on the airwaves or from the pulpit.
A couple questions, actually. Did the Brownback Amendment give a lot of nervous liberal senators a piece of high ground to jump to after voting for this hate bill to get, say, well, wait a minute now, I voted for the Constitution at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they voted for it. That's why, excuse me, they eagerly voted for it.
Yeah.
Was because they have been under tremendous fire. In fact, we had the same amount of calls coming in today, a day after the hate bill passed, than we had the previous 2 days. And yesterday's vote exceeded the first day. So there's a tremendous amount of anger on the part of constituents of all these liberals that they do not like the pedophile protection bill. They don't like the high-handed way in which due process was circumvented, and so
outrageous.
On.
Outrageous.
Yeah, and they are going to be very angry even as late as the midterms a year or so from now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be angry and taking this out. And so, yes, this was an insurance policy on the part of a majority of liberals in the Senate saying, "Well, we'll say, I did vote for the Brownback Amendment that will guarantee free speech."
Oh, see, they think they can have it both ways, is what they're doing.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's typical for politicians. But I am very thankful and grateful that the Brownback Amendment, which passed by a significantly larger majority than the original hate bill did, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Which further underscores my contention that these people were looking for safe ground, plausible deniability, and all the rest of it.
So yes, right.
That's good. Okay.
Well, the fact is, though, that even though we rejoice that the Brownback Amendment is in there, it's kind of like a sea anchor dragging out in back of a sailing ship that's underway under full gale force winds forward, because the hate bill is strongly inclined away from protection of free speech. You see, the whole idea behind the hate bill is to set up an alternate bias-oriented justice system America, like Canada's, where you have thoughts and then the speech which results from thoughts under scrutiny by the government, under a possible great suspicion as causing some kind of a violent hate crime.
Well, I would suggest that, and let's hope that if anyone attempts to push this hate bill beyond its obvious stricture now, that the public needs to rise up, and let's hope that some of these senators make an effort to underscore the fact that the Brownback Amendment does take precedence, at least in a moral sense, and they're going to have to ride on that. They've got to stand on it. All right, hold on. Back in a minute with Ted Pike as we continue. Find out what happens next to the hate bill, which has been amended to. It's now piggybacked onto the military funding bill, the Military Appropriations Act, and where that may or may not go. And the F-22 Raptor and the usurper-in-chief, the teleprompter-in-chief, Obama. Okay, back to Ted Pike. Well, they got their hate bill, but they didn't get their hate bill. And by they, I'm talking about the people who are ultimately behind this and have been behind it since, well, 20 years at least, the ADL and other affiliated groups of that ilk. They seek to control freedom of speech by means of controlling a populace, and they've done it. In Europe, people are in fear, actually in fear of thinking and speaking in certain ways that are not acceptable to this particular group and consciousness. So over here we have the hate bill passed now, but thankfully we have an amendment which, if it's read and interpreted correctly, gives due protection to all Americans. I mean, you literally have to be yelling, go out and at someone, go hit someone or cause them bodily injury, directly inciting them before any action can even be brought your way. And that's no guarantee you'll be found guilty of it. There are circumstances always behind these things that who knows what juries will do. At any rate, it's not a disaster. It's something that needs to be watched. And it may not even be signed by the teleprompter in chief. We don't know. Tell us more, Ted.
Well, of course, the president has vowed to veto this hate bill if it has too many Raptor fighters in it. And that's something we will look into next week, what we might do in that regard. Right now, I think that people should rejoice that one major fang out of maybe three or four has been pulled out of the hate bill. Of course, this legislation does violate the Fourth Amendment. It exalts special interest groups, especially homosexuals, Jews, blacks, etc., above the rest of the population, suggesting triple penalties to those who do violence to them. And, you know, if you exalt one group three notches higher, don't you automatically degrade the rest of us three notches lower?
May I add something to that?
It's not an exaggeration to say that this hate bill makes us third-class citizens compared to any sodomite or a sodomite homosexual who's accused of a hate crime and then can scream hate crime and have the federal government and local law enforcement and justice system come running to his aid. So this is a massive assault on the 14th Amendment. It's also a complete abrogation of the 10th Amendment, which delegates a generous amount of rights to the state and keeps the federal government at bay. This is a massive takeover of local law enforcement, giving the federal government prerogatives to come in anytime it wants when it sniffs out some kind of bias-motivated hate crime on the local level.
Alleged hate crime. Now, this bill also is unprecedented, to me, is retroactive.
Yes, that's what Attorney General Holder did say, that the Senate version is retroactive to it has a statute of limitations going back 7 years.
That's nuts. That's amazing.
According to him, I am not particularly familiar with that language in the Senate bill, but he stated very clearly that the House version had a statute of limitations of 5 years back, but he liked the Senate version better. It has 7 years back, which could could indict whatever you said 7 years ago on talk radio could be held against you. But again, with the Brownback Amendment in there, I think that it's a different ballgame to us. This is the free speech issue more than any other issue was troubling. to all Americans. I mean, we've seen increased federalization
right.
of law enforcement, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
since FDR came in.
Right.
But it was this idea that you better watch what you're saying because some loony might have heard you and acted upon it, leading to a 10-year prison sentence that really had church leaders or talk
yeah.
radio troubled.
It completely removes the concept of accountability from individual human behavior.
Yeah,
this is nuts.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most troubling things I've ever seen in my life is the way that this bill was passed. And as we remember, 3 weeks ago we had a little two plus hour kangaroo hearing. Yeah, which was weighted four witnesses. Two in favor of Leahy's committee, and we also saw that there was a blatant disregard for the other necessary steps. There's three more steps. You see, our system of checks and balances given us to us by the founding fathers said that a bill has got to go through run a gauntlet. It's got to go through jump through at least three or four major hoops before it even could
mm-hmm.
be voted on,
mm-hmm.
and there was minimal judiciary consideration in the Senate Judiciary Committee. There was no markup hearing, which is another opportunity our founding fathers gave us to again debate the bill,
mm-hmm.
have the opposition suggest
mm-hmm.
amendments, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Rules Committee hearing, and a lot of controversy can take place in the Rules Committee.
Yeah.
So all of that was eliminated. Furthermore, there was not a word of debate allowed last night by the Democrats. They were in the driver's seat. They had the votes there. They were not going to tolerate any more discussion of the bill or contradiction or amendments or anything. Now, let me ask you, does not that sound like totalitarianism? It does.
Nothing could sound more like it.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is that when we see a Hitler or a Stalin or somebody coming on the scene, they do exactly what Leahy and the Democrats did last night.
Same thing, under the pretense.
They strip out all
right.
of the necessary checks and balances
right.
and legislative due process, and they leap directly toward the final decree of the ruling commissariat or whatever, and that becomes the law.
You know, your point is perfect. There's no arguing it, none. Absolutely
so this should be a real wake-up to Americans and very much encouragement that we did impact them to a very large degree yesterday.
These people in Washington, by and large, do not represent America.
No.
They just don't. You can't make a good argument that they do. What Ted just described is heinous. It is anathema to the fabric and fiber of what this country is all about. It's essentially a criminal perversion of the legal system.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back. Interesting things going on. This F-22 Raptor, quite an amazing airplane, but just expensive off the charts, is supposedly the reason that Obama is going to refuse to sign the military funding bill, and with it, the hate bill. Now, the military is going to press Obama tremendously for this airplane, especially the Air Force. But more than that, Ted, and here's an angle that no one else is really mentioning, and I caught it months ago. The Israelis are pushing very hard behind the scenes for a squadron of F-22 Raptors.
Yes.
They want that plane. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. There is a reason that Obama will have to, it's not him, but the people behind him, will have to stand even more firm if they expect to deny that bill a signature. The Israelis get everything they want from this cash cow.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if Obama reverses himself and gives some typical BS that most of you listening could write with me in about 2 minutes, that due to the worsening conditions in the world, increasing danger from terrorism and unstable governments and new emerging nuclear powers and all the rest of it, that we need this fighter even though it is expensive, blah, 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 blah. Ultimately, I'm telling you, if that happens, the bottom line deciding factor will be that Israel wants and will get F-22 Raptors. I'm going to say that right now. That's my feeling.
Yes. Well, the Senator McCain and Senator Levin were both in opposition to the big Raptor package, which they say it does have the votes to pass in the Senate. And on the other hand, other conservative senators there were very much for it. So we'll have to see next week and act accordingly. Meanwhile, I think we have to point out that this was a victory for the Democrats in the overall sense, and it will only encourage the forward movement of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is the ADL's workplace or real estate hate law, which makes it a federal felony to in any way discriminate against homosexuals in hiring or firing. It also makes use of the 1965 Civil Rights Act and all of those laws requiring churches to open their doors basically to homosexuals as a protected group, just like they were forced to open them to blacks in the 60s. And so the ENDA could be moving forward rapidly, certainly not before the fall. But also the ADL cyberbullying bill, which is an incredibly dangerous bill. Very short bill, very direct in its language, that what it says is if anybody even intends to cause severe emotional distress in another human being, again, including Jews, homosexuals, etc., that he can have a 2-year prison sentence. And you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is intend it and send your thought waves over the Internet, which they say is interstate commerce,
and
you become an intention criminal or a thought criminal who intends malicious intentions.
Tom Cruise film about that recently. I forget the name of it, a couple of years ago. I saw some clip of it somewhere where these people were going around arresting people for crimes that they hadn't committed yet because they were thinking about doing it.
Well, the cyberbullying bill is almost a carbon copy, at least in its essence, of the ADL's Section 13 of the Canadian hate law. That's their internet hate law. And it says if anyone says things that are even likely over the internet to cause the other groups to feel intimidated or harassed, then that is also indictable. And again, you don't even have to hit the target if you're trying to make somebody feel bad or diminish them. All you have to do is to write or speak something that might be likely to do that. So this is really Orwellian legislation, especially coming up through the ranks in the House Judiciary Subcommittee now. This cyberbullying bill, we're going to have to watch that really closely. I think what's encouraging about what happened yesterday was that the people did restrain the liberals from the liberal juggernaut from having its full evil realization. And I think we're going to have that philosophy about these other two bills. We may very well not be able to defeat them with this very sinister and conspiratorial cabal that now exists in the Congress Democratic coalition. But the Democrats are going to have to realize that they may be bringing the Democratic Party into very widespread disrepute and even disgrace to such an extent that they may be paving the way for a real first-class reaction from the American people, not only at the midterms coming up, but next time around for the presidency. And I think that one of the reasons probably why Sarah Palin resigned as governor of Alaska is to begin to chart a course, groom herself to come in and perhaps fill this vacuum that may be being created right now by the Democrats. The Democrats may be destroying their party. I think they're in a panic to do as much damage and get as much control as they can with the ADL and its dreams of world dominion and all of that. But if they fall short and they can't achieve these goals quickly, they could just really reek in the nostrils of the American people. We could have a swing back to the right. I should mention also that Dr. James Dobson, in his, along with Tony Perkins of the FRC, the Family Research Council, a week or so ago, they had a disastrous program on Focus on the Family's radio broadcast, in which they counseled the American people to give up all opposition to the hate bill. And just following that tragic broadcast, which basically took all spirit and all fight from literally tens of millions of evangelicals, Dobson announced a big conference coming up this September in which all the luminaries of the formerly glorious religious and political right would all be gathering for a big strategy session on how to ultimately bring back the pendulum from the left back to the right. So the conservatives are looking and yearning for revenge, and if the Democrats go too far in violating and insulting the values, the morality of the American people, they could be digging their own political graves.
We'll talk more about that in just a couple of minutes with Ted Pike. Tragic? I'd say that millions of Americans were betrayed.
Yes.
By their supposed leaders. This was unforgivable. The least that I would... Look, let's put it this way. Had they said, stay active if you feel it, vote your conscience, but don't give up.
Yes.
Just don't give up. Don't tell people what to do, but certainly encourage them to remain active.
Yes.
We don't have much left here in this country. To tell them to quit is as big a betrayal as I can imagine.
Yes.
That's my feeling. All right, we'll be right back. Final segment with Ted Pike. So as we look ahead next week, what's the timetable, Ted, approximately when this bill might find its way to Obama's desk?
Well, first we have to have the approval of the Department of Defense Appropriations Bill, and once that happens, it could go fairly... I think probably we have significant enough differences between the Senate version of the hate bill, which is in the amendment form, versus the House version, which was a standalone bill. It'll have to go to conference. And whether conference will be held before the summer break or after the summer break, I am not sure. That's up in the air. But I guess I can't answer that question. There may be too much work to do here to take it through conference before the 1st of August. But meanwhile, I believe that we have to remain very much on the alert and aggressive, calling, protesting against the rest of these bills which are coming through. Again, we may not be able to defeat them with this hardcore, basically I would say it's virtually a Marxist regime we have now among the Democrats in the Senate. I should also mention that we have tremendous tools right now largely through the Internet. We have the creation of our own alternate media. It's not a conjecture. It's a reality. And I was just noticing yesterday, I decided to count up how many radio broadcasts I have done since the hate bill was introduced in January. This is the 196th radio interview I've done against the hate bill since January. I have about 130 different talk show hosts who will put me on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly get up on the 500 stations about any time I want to. I just sound the alarm, and this is a great luxury for me because I have kind of suffered in silence for decades, not able to leap over the barriers of
right.
established
yes,
media.
Of course. Well, thank goodness that most, at least some, talk show hosts understand that their careers are on the line with
yes.
this. I mean, that's really the bottom line for them. it could all be out the window. No matter if they're centrist, left, right, whatever label you want to hang on them, it doesn't matter. If somebody takes something they say or a guest they have on and flips out, yikes.
I don't think we could be doing any of this without the internet. If we
No, we couldn't. Or you. Let's be honest.
Without the internet, we would still you'd still have NBC, CBS, ABC booming forward, dominating the news in every household in America, which is what we had in 1970, 1980. Now everybody's shifted off to alternative news sources, and you're very familiar with that, which have mushroomed. But again, I'm the beneficiary of that, because at any time now that I see a danger on the horizon, I can send out e-alerts, I can get on talk radio, I can do maybe even a dozen or more shows during a week, and within literally minutes, within hours, the most vital warnings can go forward. We saw that so powerfully this last week. On Tuesday, I had sent out an e-alert, a total emergency alert, about the imminent hate bill movement in the Senate. And there was so much competition from the Sotomayor hearings and the health reform issues that we had a very tiny amount of calls coming in. We also had the complete absence, except for Janet Porter, of Faith to Action, of any kind of understanding or vision or action about the tremendous crisis we were heading into this week. And I called in about 11 o'clock in the morning and found out that Senator Hatch's office had only received about 14 calls against the hate bill. That would be mid-afternoon back on the East Coast. I was just absolutely amazed, because by that time 24,000 people had come and watched our Holder video at Truth Tellers. I said, where in the world are these people? And so I sent out an emergency alert. In fact, in the next day, it was that same day that the homosexual lobby was dominating calls into the Senate. I sent out an emergency alert, and literally by that afternoon, the calls were flooding in. The whole new right was galvanized into action. Suddenly, on all of their websites, there came up alerts. Even FRC and Focus on the Family got in the fray, actually calling constituents around the country, I understand, to get the calls going in. The next day we had a massive flood, jamming, same way the next day, same way the third day, which is today. And that's a result of this new media that is available to us. And if we have insight, if we have courage and take action, to make use of that media, I believe we can still do a very great deal to hold back the New World Order.
I would hope so. Then, of course, we have the constitutional challenges that are going to come with every law signed by Obama. You saw what happened to the major in the National Guard who said, I'm not going to Afghanistan because I do not believe the alleged president of the United States is legitimately in that office, and I don't believe he is my commander-in-chief, and I'm not going to follow through on the order.
Oh,
what did the Army do? They quietly canceled the order. Of course, this was picked up all over the Internet. And then the man's job, he was employed, was terminated. But the bottom line is the Army wanted nothing to do with any kind of a legal challenge of Obama's right to be called and, in fact, exercise the powers of commander-in-chief. They didn't want anything to do with it, so they just rescinded the guy's orders and then kicked him out of the Army.
Yeah.
So that's pretty indicative that where there's smoke, there's fire, and everything that he signs, Ted, is potentially null and void.
Yeah. Well, we saw 2 years ago, we thought everything was perhaps over when both the House and Senate did pass the hate bill, and then they dragged on the approval of the Army Appropriations Bill for 6 months longer, driving Bush crazy. And we thought, surely he's not going to exercise his veto power. But circumstances totally unforeseen, which I won't go into now, fairly complicated, caused 75 Democrats to revolt against the arms bill. They joined with 185 Republicans, and the hate bill was destroyed 2 years ago. And I believe very strongly in divine providence, and God is watching over this country and working, and even this week, even as late as yesterday, has powerfully come in with a way of escape, a way of deliverance. And I know that many, many thousands of Americans are praying for that kind of divine intervention.
I'm glad they're praying, but they need to do more than that.
That's right.
Pick up the phone and call. And I honestly am not a member of the Christian right. I don't know all that much about it, but I do know a sellout when I see it.
Yes.
And I would suggest to America's Christians that if they look to James Dobson as a leader, or look to that man as exhibiting the kinds of qualities of leadership and patriotism that made this country great, they better look elsewhere, and they better look at someone else in a hurry. It's time to shed that kind of betrayal permanently. You will be consigned to the ash can of political history and social history if you follow that kind of guidance again.
Well, we do need fresh leadership.
You bet.
And the church needs leadership, the conservative movement needs fresh leadership, and quite frankly, it's going to have to address front on this problem of ADL, Zionist domination of Congress, Jewish supremacist domination of the media, which has a stranglehold on our information and opinion making in America. We are simply not going to survive what Rabbi Lapin, an Orthodox rabbi, says is a concentrated, relentless attack on Christian values and civilization by ADL.
Well, I concur. I think that this has been a learning process, I hope, for a lot of Christian Americans who wised up. You don't tell people to quit. Not on something as crucial as that. And the pedophile protection aspect of it alone would seem to dictate that you continue to urge your followers, and that's what Dobson has, I wish that wasn't the case, to stay active.
Yes.
My goodness, what is this? I don't understand.
You know, what Dobson did is sort of in violation with the whole idealism, not only of our country, but of Christian civilization. Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. And that's just fundamental to everything we stand for, is that there, regardless of how dark, whether Britain is being blitzed by bombs or rockets or whatever, there is still hope as long as we continue to fight. And I literally would lay down my body and lay down my life to protect my child from attack by a pedophile. But what James Dobson says was basically, folks, there's nothing we can do. Let the pedophiles come on. Let them rape our children. Let them get special federal protection. We'll just have to wait until there's a big swing, pendulum back to right-wing values. Well, I don't think that pendulum would ever come back to right-wing values. I think we would go directly into a total annihilation of Western civilization and all we stand for.
Catastrophic fatalism and imbecility. I don't know if there's senility involved or an agenda, but that was just mind-boggling. So let's hope all of you think about that carefully who are involved with the Christian right, and perhaps think about what Ted is suggesting, time for some new leadership. All right, Ted, thank you. Again, I salute you. We'll stay in touch next week and have you back on as we follow this thing down the road.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Reverend Ted Pike, really just a great American, been fighting this for all of you out there listening, all of us, since 1988, because he cares. So send him a note of thanks and pay attention to truthtellers.org. And I've got it all at rents.com for you as well. All right, that's our program tonight. Weekend is upon us. Enjoy the next 2 days. We're going to go fast. And we'll be back with you, of course, Sunday night for the encore, then Monday as well. Great program Monday night. All right, talk to you Monday. If not before, we'll see you at rents.com. And please keep your gestures of support coming in. Thank you.